Hi, this is Adam from Sydney, Australia. This is definitely my very first podcast, or my first attempt at it. I'm going to be getting Scott Rakowski to help me do this. I'm just recording on a Sony recorder, the same sort of recorder that Scott's using, just with the inbuilt microphones. What these series of podcasts that I'm going to be doing will be about, and they'll be random podcasts, not, you know, specifically every week, or, you know, and there's going to be no actual structure to how often they'll be done, but they'll be about Australia, sometimes the differences between things in America, things in Australia. They might be sound-seeing tours when we go to different places and do different things. My wife, Diana, who's from the US, and myself, I'm, as you can tell by my accent, from Australia. I'm actually just going to be hanging some clothes outside on the clothesline. What I thought I'd do with this podcast, first of all, is just briefly talk about my career and, well, not actually a career, but the different jobs that I've had over the last, coming up at the beginning of next year, last 20 years since 1986 when I first started work, after I finished school, which is basically what you guys would pretty much call college. When I finished college, I actually thought that I was going to be doing some sort of work to do with woodwork, carpentry and joinery, because that's what I was interested in, and I had done some work experience in that area, and I put in an application for a position working for the government in Canberra, which is the capital city of Australia, which at the time I was living in Canberra. Now I'm actually living in Sydney, which is the largest city in New South Wales, which is one of the states of Australia. I wasn't actually successful for that position doing the woodworking. Didn't actually get a reason why, but they basically just said that I wasn't successful for it. They did at the time have a person there who was deaf working, and it was a position with the government, so, you know, the government are an equal employment, a company that does do employment equally, so I don't know if it actually had anything to do with the fact that I was blind or, you know, quite what was what, because the job would have been fairly easily, basically it would have been for all different types of projects that they got in. It would have been gluing, sanding and nailing together different pieces of the construction that that they had in. So anyway, I didn't actually get that job. I was doing a course with Lifeline. I'm not too sure whether they have Lifeline in the States, but basically it's a helpline that people can call for, you know, help on life issues, etc. 24-hour line. And someone, when I was at that course, I was talking to them and they said, why don't you try and get into a company called Telecom, which basically is our prime telephone company. And they were hiring out at that time for different departments, people to work on switchboards. So I thought, oh, well, I'll give it a go. I don't know if I'd like switchboard work. I had nothing at that time to do with switchboards or anything like that. So I ended up going through the equivalent of rehab, and I started work on a switchboard, an NEC switchboard. And basically, there was another blind lady working at the same department as I was working at. In those days, they had the idea that if you were blind, you had to be trained by another blind person to work. on the switchboards. This was a switchboard where you had three or four different departments coming in. We obviously couldn't see the screens, so we just had to answer with the name of the office building that we were working at. The other people could answer either Department of Foreign Affairs, Department of Immigration, Department of Trade, or, you know, whatever the other different departments were. They could look on the screen and just answer that, whereas we just had to answer Benjamin offices. So that was how we got around that. When people were doing the national calls, they all had to come through the switchboard. What we would end up doing, this is right way back in the beginning, was that we would actually have to transfer them through to one of the other operators, because they were all, these calls were all written up on pieces of paper, on dockets. Obviously we could put the calls through, but they were written up on dockets and then put into a book. So not long after I started there, they realised that it was too much having me and her on the one desk and both calling out to people for numbers, because in those days, this is 1986, there were no way of keeping the directory in Braille because it was such a huge department, and the other lady that was there couldn't read Braille. She'd been blind for, I think, about 10 years or something like that, and just never bothered learning Braille. So she couldn't read Braille. So what we used to do is, if she didn't remember a number for anyone, she remembered a lot of them but not all of them, she'd just have to call out, "Hey, can somebody give me the number for Bill Smith?" So they'd look through their big plastic binders and find the number for Bill Smith, and they'd call back, "Oh, it's 4582. So then she'd put the person through. That was how she basically did the job. When I ended up moving off the desk that she was at and working on my own desk, doing the same things as what she did, I said to them, "How about as a suggestion, if I bring in my Braille machine for the STD calls, for the national calls, and instead of each time I get one, calling out and saying, 'Hey, can someone take this number or whatever,' I'd write them down on the Braille machine, put them through, and then when it was a quiet period, then someone could come over and I'd read them and they would put the calls through." So that worked out well, and that, you know, I think maybe showed them that, you know, I was, you know, reasonably independent and, you know, could think for myself and, you know, come up with different ideas. So that was in the beginning. Then after a while, after a couple of weeks, I think I was there for 2 weeks, a lot of the other women that were there went to the supervisor and said, "Hey, look, it's too much having two people here and both calling out, 'Hey, can someone look up a number for this, that, the other?'" So what they did was they transferred me to another building with a three-person switchboard instead of this one. I think had about 10 or 12 people for the switchboards. So they transferred me to this other building. As soon as I went there, I made inquiries and got the phone numbers put into Braille, because it was a one department board, but it was I had two huge folders, one with the people's names and the other folder was what they used to call the Where Is It book, which had all sorts of different things, an A to Z of all the different places that people might want to ring up. Because at that time, that board that I started working on was the equivalent of the local parish, or the like the town council, if you like. You know, where they look after the water and the parks and the nature strips and all that sort of thing. So there were all sorts of different things that people might ring up about, trees on nature strips and cleaning of parks, you name it, everything. So I had two huge folders with with all of that information, just little tags sticking out of the sides, and that way I could keep track of what was what. The only problem was that if somebody moved desks too often and changed their numbers, obviously you can only write over Braille so many times before it gets completely wiped out and that you couldn't read it anymore. So what they ended up doing was someone here in Australia wrote a little basic telephone directory. And the first talking computer that I ever used, it was an Epson computer, and it was using Votrax speech, which I know was very old. Sometimes you had to turn the unit on and off in order to get it to speak slowly, otherwise it would take off at a very fast rate and you couldn't understand what was going on. So that was great. We ended up having all the numbers manually input into that. And basically, believe it or not, for I think 2 years, I ran with that computer. Everyone else was still using paper-based directories at that time. And I had no backup at all. Nobody really even knew that there was a tape backup on the computer, or if they did, they didn't actually know how to use it. And so I ran for 2 years or more without backup, and then in the end, we managed to get an IT person to come in and run the backups at lunchtime, because it was very risky, because if that machine went down, basically, I wouldn't have a job. So I worked at this switchboard, the one that I've been telling you about for the last few minutes, from 1986 through until 1990. Then what I ended up doing was moving from that to another part of the government, the local government in Canberra, and I was the inquiry officer for air, water and noise pollution. And people would ring up and say, oh look, you know, when can I burn my rubbish? What time in the night can I make noise up until? All sorts of different things like that. So I did that for about 2 years. I was also at that time on reception, taking messages for people. That time I'd moved on from using the Votrax. That was actually left to the people that I was working with, and I think it just stayed in the cupboard and then ended up getting chucked in the rubbish, which, in those days lots of things like that happened. Then I ended up getting one of the very first keynotes. Not the first keynote, but the second keynote, the T1000. I ended up getting that and putting that telephone directory that was made years ago onto that, and I was using that plus a printer to print up messages, etc. No email back in those days. Or if there was, the section that I was with, I didn't really have access to it, etc., etc. From then, I moved into another section, which was basically the urban parks area, like the parkland area. The parklands around the town, and people would ring up about fallen trees, playground equipment that needed maintaining, all sorts of things like that. So basically what I would be doing is I'd be taking down their details, and I'd be printing out information and sending it through to the depot, most of the time by fax, and I could actually do that from my phone, but just had a tiny little fax machine hooked up to the computer. By that time, I basically moved on to JAWS version, I think it was version 2, because this was in 1990, I'm not sure which part of the 1990s it was, but it was the early 1990s when yours was fairly new, and that was on, I think, Windows 3.1. So basically, that's what I was doing there. And I ended up staying in that job until 1998, when I moved to Sydney. I ended up getting a job at Pizza Hut in their ordering centre, which was quite good. They were using DOS, believe it or not, and that was fairly tricky. The screens were fairly hard to use. So I was glad when I got out of that. I ended up getting a job with Vodafone, which is a cell phone provider. After that, what I was doing with them was I was actually taking messages from people and sending them through to mobile phones, like voice messages. It was actually more or less like a paging service, but the messages went through to the mobile phone. So what I would be doing is the call would drop in, like one ring and the call would drop, and I would actually be listening to Jaws reading out a message on the screen. For instance, you've reached Adam Morris's paging service. Please leave a message and he will get back to you as soon as possible. So as soon as that message was coming in, I'd be basically saying that at the same time as Jaws was speaking it, which was not too bad. I know I probably sounded a little bit robotic, and some of the people that did the listening in said that sort of thing. I'll just pause this for a sec while I put the washing machine on. Okay, now, as I was saying, that basically that's what I was doing at Vodafone, was reading the information back to people as they rang in, writing down the message, reading the message that they gave me back to them to confirm it, and then sending it on to onto the mobile phones, which was basically done automatically. And then I ended up being made redundant along with about 70 other people. That was in 2001. I was out of work for about 5 or 6 months after that. Then I ended up getting a job with the Royal Blind Society, which is the main blindness organisation. That was basically doing telemarketing, which, as everyone knows, really isn't that much chop. I ended up getting another two jobs doing telemarketing at the same time, because that one was only part-time. And then after that, I was applying for different jobs at different times, and I ended up getting a job with the Department of Immigration, and that job basically is helping people with their inquiries about Australian citizenship using a couple of different programs. You need to use the Jaws cursor a lot with them to look around the screen to find out information for people, and you have to use the Intranet, which is their local version of the internet, which I'm not particularly good at. Basically, you have to, they always say, oh, everything's on there, just look up there, don't ask the supervisors, but it takes a long time to go through the headings and find out the different information, but I'm managing okay there. I've just got my permanency there, and I've been there since August of last year. And basically, that is the situation with my career.
I'd like to thank all of you for listening. Hopefully it's been something that has been fairly interesting to you. I actually now have a comment line. The comment line number is 206-984-0467, and the email address, if you wish to send feedback, which I will put on to the next podcast, is ozcast@internode, internode.on.net.